Hello and welcome to the Creating Happy Writers podcast. My name is Steph Caswell, a multi-published author and writing coach who believes that every woman has a story worth sharing. I'm here to show you that writing your book doesn't have to be overwhelming or time-consuming. After all, you already have the expertise and content within you. Instead, I want to help women like you create a guilt-free space to write, build the confidence to share your message, and turn your knowledge into a business-boosting book that helps you earn what you deserve. You can get more support from me via my weekly email newsletter or in my book, Dare to Write. You can also become a member of the Happy Writers Hub, a space for you to dedicate regular time to your book project and start prioritizing it as your next bold business move. Doors are always open, so come and join us for weekly co-writing sessions, as well as monthly live Q&A sessions where you can ask anything you'd like about the writing and publishing process. Links to the newsletter, book, and the hub are all in the show notes. Today's episode is my first book review of 2025, and one I am super excited to share with you. In these review episodes, I focus on a book by a female author, talking you through why I think it worked at a book level, but also what I think you'll enjoy about it or learn from it from a reader's perspective too. I'm delighted to say that in this episode, I'll be reviewing, drumroll please, The Let Them Theory by Mel Robbins. Are you surprised, dear listener? I bet you're not. If you have been listening to this podcast for a while, you'll know that I am a huge Mel Robbins fan. And so, of course, when The Let Them Theory came out at the beginning of this year, I thought to myself, the first book review has to be her new book. So I am so excited to share my thoughts with you today. And I know it's been a very popular book that I've seen doing the rounds on social media. And Mel has been all over the place promoting it onto all sorts of platforms, including Oprah. And the other day I saw her on Khloe Kardashian's new podcast. So she really is getting more into the popular culture than perhaps she'd been in before. So yeah, really looking forward to sharing my thoughts with you today. But what I thought I'd do first is, as always, share the blurb from the book, but also a little bit about Mel, if you're not too familiar with her. This is the blurb. What if the key to happiness, success, and love was as simple as two words? If you've ever felt stuck, overwhelmed, or frustrated with where you are, the problem isn't you. The problem is the power you give to other people. Two simple words, let them, will set you free. Free from the opinions, drama, and judgments of others. Free from the exhausting cycle of trying to manage everything and everyone around you. The Let Them Theory puts the power to create a life you love back in your hands. And this book will show you exactly how to do it. In her latest groundbreaking book, The Let Them Theory, Mel Robbins, New York Times bestselling author and one of the world's most respected experts on motivation, confidence, and mindset, teaches you how to stop wasting energy on what you can't control and start focusing on what truly matters, you, your happiness, your goals, your life. Written as an easy-to-understand guide, Robbins shares relatable stories from her own life, highlights key takeaways, relevant research, and introduces you to world-renowned experts in psychology, neuroscience, relationships, happiness, and ancient wisdom, who champion the Let Them Theory every step of the way. About the author. Mel Robbins is the creator and host of the award-winning The Mel Robbins Podcast, one of the most successful podcasts in the world, and a number one New York Times bestselling author. She has amassed 25 million followers online and is considered the most sought-after expert in life improvement, mindset, and behavior change. The Wall Street Journal calls her a billion-view podcaster, and Time magazine says she gives millions of listeners around the globe a reason to believe in themselves. Her books have been translated into 50 languages and include the number one New York Times, number one Amazon, number one Audible, and the number one Sunday Times best-selling The Let Them Theory, which is the most successful non-fiction book launch in history, with over 1.2 million copies sold within a month of its release date. She is also the author of the multi-million copy-selling The 5-Second Rule, The High Five Habit, and seven number one audiobook releases on Audible. USA Today calls Mel a force to be reckoned with. She is a global phenomenon in the publishing industry and podcasting. Her Boston-based media production company, 143 Studios, produces award-winning content, podcasts, events, audio series, online courses, journals, and books, along with professional development education for partners like Starbucks, Ulta Beauty, JP Morgan Chase, LinkedIn, Headspace, and Audible. The Mel Robbins podcast has won some of the most prestigious awards given to podcasts, including Webby, Signal Awards, and more. It was also recognised as one of Apple Podcasts' top shared and followed shows of 2024 and 2023, and Spotify's top global shows of 2024. Notable accolades for Robbins include being a Forbes 50 over 50 honoree, USA Today top 5 mindset and performance coaches in the world, and one of the 50 most influential influencers on the Hollywood Reporter's Creators A-list in 2024. Now, I deliberately read that enormous bio because I cannot believe that Mel has done all of this stuff from the age of 40. So at the age of 40, none of this was happening for Mel. And she is now in her 50s. And it has just been a decade plus of incredible growth. And just think that when she was 40, she'd not written a book. She'd not even shared anything of herself with the world. But in the last decade, she has just catapulted herself onto the global scene. And that's what I love about her story and about the Let Them Theory book, is that it is just almost catapulted her to an even bigger level with more people knowing who she is. And as someone who's followed her right from probably just before the 5 second rule came out, because I think I remember it as a TED talk, and I remember sort of starting to follow her on social media and thinking, okay, this woman's quite interesting. And then the book came out, and as you know, if you've listened to the podcast before, it's a book that had a truly transformative effect on my life, and it still does to this day. So I, in my head and my heart, owe a lot to Mel, even though she has no idea who I am. Although actually, Let's not say no idea, because as many of you may know, some of you may know, I do some writing for one of the biggest podcasts in the country. And Mel was a guest when I started that on the podcast in 2022. And or perhaps it was 2021. I can't even remember. Gosh, she was a guest when I first started. And I was so excited that she was going to be on it. And the host talked to Mel about me, because when he said Mel was coming on, I said, oh my God, I love Mel Robbins. She changed my life. And he immediately rang me and was like, what do you mean she changed your life? And so I explained how the 5 second rule had done so much to propel me out of teaching and into my writing career and into all the other things I've done. And so we were on the phone probably for about half an hour, because he just was taking loads of notes. And he said to me at the end, do you mind if I share this with Mel on the podcast? Because I really think it's a great story that would echo what other people have found. But this is actually somebody I've spoken to and blah, blah, blah. So I said, yeah, that's fine. No problem. And I was really fortunate because the audio engineer and the videographer said to me, do you want to watch the interview live? And so I remember sitting in the cabin where I'm sitting right now recording this podcast, watching the Mel interview in the studio in the north of England. And I remember him starting and saying, I've got a member of my team, and she says you changed her life. And it kind of went on from there, really. And he said, explain the story. And she said, okay, well, what's her name? And I think he was thinking he was trying to keep it anonymous for my sake. And he just said, well, actually, her name's Steph. And then she spent sort of about 5 or 10 minutes talking about me, talking about the fact that actually she hadn't done the stuff. She'd just given me a tool. I'd done the work. But it was such an incredible moment, even though I wasn't there and even though I hadn't met her. But for me, she has totally been one of the biggest influences in how I live my life and the decisions I've made. And so just to hear her talk about me, it was a really surreal experience, but it was an incredible experience. And I'm really fortunate that I got to listen to it. And if you want to listen to it, I will link to the podcast in the show notes. The other part of it was that he then got her to sign a copy of The High Five Habit for me and sent it to me in the post. And yeah, it's what is honestly one of my most treasured possessions. And I remember getting it in the post and he hadn't told me. So I opened the envelope and pulled it out and saw on the front, I think on the front cover, it just says, "I love you, Steph." And I literally burst into tears. And it's like, it's incredible because it just shows that books change lives. And yeah, it was incredible. So she, for me, is somebody that, I'm getting emotional now. She, for me, is somebody that really has had such an impact. So I am delighted that she's having this success. And I'm really excited to share what my thoughts on the Let Them Theory are. Right, now I've recovered myself from that. Let me share with you why I picked the book up. So I've just explained my previous experience. So if you are a super fan of somebody, and I'm sure you will have authors that you love, as soon as they publish their next book, you buy it almost regardless. And that was the case for me with this book. The other people that I tend to do that with are Ryan Holiday, Jen Sincero, and perhaps, well, in the fiction space, people like Lisa Jewell, Robert Thorogood, Richard Osman, anybody that I love their work, it's almost a guarantee. And that's what a super fan is. And I always try and think about how can we do that with our own audiences? How can we create super fans of our work? And it's hard. And obviously when we're a very small author in terms of reach and notoriety, obviously you're not going to have the amount of super fans that these big names have. But I do think it's so important to cultivate relationships with your readers over time so that when you do publish anything, that's when you're going to have people who snap it up, whatever you've written, because they love what you do. I knew when she said that she was writing this book that I would buy it immediately. I actually pre-ordered it, and I never pre-order books, never. Only not because I don't agree with it, it's just I never remember. But she said, I pre-ordered Ryan Holiday's one that came out in September of 2024. So those two, I knew that regardless, I'd want to read them. So that's one of the reasons I picked the book up. The second reason is I listened to the viral episode of her podcast last year, or perhaps it was 2023. It must have been in order for her to write this book. But I listened to the Let Them Theory episode where she talked about this whole principle and theory. And I made my husband listen to it as well, because I said to him, you've got to listen to this. This is incredible. The whole reason that I think Mel is so successful, and I'm going to come on to this, is that she's really good at warming her audience up to concepts and ideas. So I listened to the episode, and then I know through somebody else that she was writing a different book. But obviously this Let Them Theory episode for her podcast had done so well that she thought, no, I'm going to have to pivot. And again, it was one of the reasons that I pivoted the book that I'm writing, because I thought, actually, this is such a good example of when something is working in the real world, why not write about it? So thank you again, Mel, for something else you've done where I pivoted my book towards this 30-minute sprint book that I'm writing at the moment, because I know that that seems to resonate with people. My knowledge of her, super fan, tick. Listen to the podcast episode where I immediately thought this is an incredible tool, tick. And then the third thing is a personal level. I have always struggled with being a people pleaser, but also taking on a lot of other people's emotions and like being a bit of an emotional sponge and thinking to myself, I am somehow need to make sure that I am making them happy all the time. Whether that be friendships, relationships with my kids, you know, in any capacity, I've always thought I'm almost responsible in a way for their happiness, what happens to them, what they think of me, the decisions I make, whether they agree with what I do. I don't want to do anything that's going to ruffle too many feathers. Even though I've done crazy things in my life in terms of decisions I've made that have seemed almost alien to people that I know, and almost wild, it's still a thing that I think about. I still think, oh my gosh, but if I make the decision, what are other people going to say? How is it going to impact other people? And it was a book that, and that's why the podcast resonated with me, was because I thought, oh my gosh, this is totally something that I struggle with. And therefore, when the book came out, I thought, yes, I need this tool in my life. As I said in the introduction, I try to look at the books that I review on this podcast in two ways. I look at them from a writing perspective. So for authors, what can we learn? And I also try and look at it from the reader perspective. But because the author techniques are designed for readers to enjoy the book, it's almost these things are intertwined. So as much as I will split these next two bits into why does it work from being a writer, and then why does it work from a reader's perspective, it's hard to almost clearly have two different things and two different thoughts about stuff, and they will sort of mush together. But let's start with, why does it work from a writing perspective? The first reason I think that it works from a writing perspective is because Mel tested out this theory, and I alluded to this a few minutes ago. She is an absolute master at trying out things with her audience before she writes books. She did this in three different ways. With the 5-second rule, it started, and if you've read the book, you'll know this, it started with her using it. It was a lived experience. Then she started telling her friends and family about it. And then her friends and family started telling their friends and family about it. And she started to get like feedback from people that this was really a tool that people were finding helpful. And then it kind of grew and grew, and she started to become a bit known for it. And then she did her TED talk. And then from the TED talk, she realized that she was really onto something. And so it had to become a book. Same with the High Five Habit. If you followed Mel for a while, you'll know that she did loads of stuff on her socials, on her podcast, on other people's podcasts about the High Five Habit. And a lot of people were skeptical. They thought it was a little bit wild, but then she was getting real-time feedback from her audience, from her social media audience, who were telling her that it was working for them, who were tagging her in content where they were doing the High Five Habit in the morning. And so again, she realized it was getting traction, people were interested, it was working for people. So she wrote it into a book. And then the third example is the Let Them Theory book itself. She did the podcast episode, it went viral. She was writing something else. Then she realized how many people were fascinated by this principle and therefore pivoted and wrote the book. So I think as an author and as a writer, is really interesting when you're thinking of writing a book, is it something that you have done with people in a real life experience? Maybe if you're a coach, you've done sessions with people, you've led workshops, perhaps you do a group program. If you've got real life, real time evidence that what you want to write about is something that has worked and is popular with people that you work with, then it's likely to be popular with far more people in book format. So that's why I think it works from a writing perspective, because she tried it out, she refined it, she did the research to back it up, as she has done with all her books. Why does this work? It's not just a flippant tool that you can use. She really knows that it's important to back this stuff up. So tries it out first, sees what the reaction is, starts to do more research as to why this could possibly be the case. Now, if you are somebody who is a business leader, if you're somebody who is already very knowledgeable on your subject, then you will know the research to back this up, because no doubt you'll have read it yourself. So you've got that beautiful connection of, or combination of, should I say, the lived experience and the research. And then when you've got that, when you know it works and why it works, then you can write it. And I think that gives the book the gravitas, that gives the book the real solid foundation that you need to make it successful. The second reason I think it works is because Mel really sticks to her straight talking tone of voice. Again, does it all the time. This is not something that is new to people. They know and love her because she has this straight talking style. She's very kind and compassionate, but she doesn't take any bullshit. She totally embodies that throughout her brand. So the book would have been weird if it had not had that tone of voice. And again, as a writer, this is just a super example of why it's important to write how you normally sound. And I have had experiences with authors where they've tried to write in a way they think they should write rather than in a way that is their natural voice. And our natural voice is very often the voice we just use when we're talking to people, when we're talking to clients. Of course, you're going to have an air of professionality. Nope, that's not even a word. Professionalism. There we go. To it. But I do believe wholeheartedly that 80% of it should just be exactly how you normally sound, and then refining it here and there to make it sound really sharp and concise and well written. But the overall tone should not be wildly different to how you sound, because if you do that, if your book is the first thing someone has that is a contact with you and they read your book and then they work with you and you're completely different, they're going to find that really unnerving, and they're going to think, well, actually, this person I thought sounded like this, and now when I talk to them, they sound like this. And so you really want to have a very neat, all-round brand voice that comes through in the book itself. Another reason that I think it works from a writing perspective is that it's structured really well. It's very clear parts to it. And the reason that I think this works is because when we're writing, it helps us break our almost ideas down into those relevant sections. But for the reader, and again, this is why I said some things intertwine, from the reader, they can dip into the sections that perhaps are relevant. And that's what I really liked about the Let Them Theory. It was like, how can you apply it to your, you know, your family life and your relationships? How can you apply it to your kind of personal growth and development? So there's sections that perhaps you might read it all the way through, which I have and loved it, but then I know that there are sections that I can just go back to and dip into. And as a writer, that's just really helpful, because you can structure it in a way that you know is going to please the reader, but also structure it in a way that makes it accessible to people. And the final thing I think works from a writing perspective is that she makes her research super easy to understand. The great thing is that she's got so many podcast episodes to fall back on where she interviewed particular experts, and she can go back to those episodes and find the research or speak to that person deliberately. Now, I know from the podcast that I've worked on that if there's a book coming out, some of the guests will be deliberately chosen to help kind of bring that topic to life a bit and for more knowledge to be gained before the work is written. And I think that probably the same with Mel. When she was writing the book, she thought, oh, I really need to talk to somebody about this particular part of this theory, and therefore she would have them on. So it's almost a savvy writing move to have the people on that are going to help you write the book better. But the other thing to think about is, and I say this all the time to people, is how can you make the research accessible to the reader? You've got to be really careful when you're super knowledgeable about something, or if you've got a PhD or you've got loads of qualifications in a particular topic, is that you can break it down and make it understandable for the everyday person. And if you can't do that, the book then becomes quite dry, hard to read. People will put it down and they won't pick it up again. So that's another thing I think she does really well, is that she makes the research easy for us all to understand. Now let's look at the reader perspective. Mel is a super compassionate person. She genuinely believes in her brand's mission to help people be the best version of themselves. And that shines through. And as a reader, you then feel instantly seen, heard, recognised, loved, cared for. And it's not that it's an overt thing, but it's just you feel supported that you can try this out for yourself. When somebody writes in that way, and her use of her story throughout is another way to really connect me to her, because, okay, her stories aren't the same as my stories, but I can see similarities. I can see times when I've done something similar or something similar has happened to me. And also she's brave, vulnerable enough to share her story with her reader. And it just, again, makes us feel connected to her. And again, from a writing perspective, if I shift back to the other thoughts, is that's what we want. We want connection with our readers, because that means that they're going to finish the books, they're going to want to know more about us, they're going to consume other things we might have done, or perhaps work with us, just because we were able to bring them on our journey and make them feel as though they're part of our experience and we are part of theirs. So there's that connection piece that is super, super important. Second reason I think it works is because it's practical. practical. Again, all of Mel's books are tool-led. 5-second rule is a tool. The high five habit is a tool. The let them theory is a tool. And it's a tool that then needs explanation, but it's a tool that is practical. So I know that when something happens and I feel myself getting riled up, I've read the let them theory. So it's, okay, let them have that emotion. Let me do this as a result. And it's the let me part that I think is so strong, because I think the danger is, and she says this in the book, that people hear the let them theory and think it's all just about let them, just let them get away with stuff. And it's not that. It's the let me part that is how you then respond. And that might be to challenge somebody, or it might just be, just let them, okay, you crack on, I'm going to go and do my thing. I'm going to still do the thing I want to do. Or it could be, let me listen. Let me be compassionate. So whatever it is, and obviously it's all individual situation based, it's still a tool that we can call on in times of need. The 5-second rule. I quit my job using the 5-second rule. I was a deputy head. I can remember standing outside my head teacher's door, knowing I was about to go in and tell her that I was resigning, and I felt sick. Mainly because my head teacher is a good friend of mine. She's a friend. She'd become a friend. We worked so well together. We built the school from being, you know, almost in special measures, which was the terminology used at the time, to good. So we almost failed the first Ofsted we ever did together because we'd inherited some practices that weren't great and we were both new to position. And so we had to go through the Ofsted where we almost failed and got a satisfactory. And then we got revisited from Ofsted, I think it was 18 months later, and we got a good. So we'd been through that experience. We'd had so many emotions together, and I was about to tell her that I didn't want to do the job anymore. And I can remember standing outside thinking, this is the worst conversation I feel like I've had in a long time. And I thought, I've got to just do it. I've got to push through this fear. And I 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 pushed open the door and told her, and now I'm sitting here talking to you on a podcast. So it's a tool. And how I apply it is down to me, but it's there. It's a strategy, right? So I think that's why people love it. It's practical. Which leads me nicely onto the final point I want to make about the book, which it's made people feel, as readers, part of a movement. And that is not to be sniffed at. So if you look at the book, if you've read the book, you'll know that there's a few pages where she's put photos of all the tattoos that people have had done of the let them theory. And wow, if you can imagine being somebody who creates this movement, who makes people so passionately dedicated to living this theory in their lives that they have it inked onto their skin, that is for me amazing. And lots of you will know that I am a tattoo person. I like tattoos. I have one, but I also have the 5-second rule tattoo coming this year on my wrist, on my right wrist, because it's really made me feel as though I belong to something that works. And I don't know whether I'm going to have the let them theory one, but it's not to say I won't. But I think that it's such a neat, easy thing to have inked on you to remind you that at any point you've got this tool. So people are part of something. And when people feel part of something, that is just extraordinary, and it will stay with them for the rest of their lives. They will start sharing your book. They will start talking about it to everybody. They'll start sharing their tattoos if that's what they do. And to be the author that allows that to happen for somebody, gives them something that they feel so strongly about, must just be amazing. From a reader's perspective, the let them theory works because they feel as though they're part of this thing that's happening, and it's all bubbling away, and there's lots of her being on all sorts of, as I said at the start, podcasts and places where she is sharing her story about the let them theory, which is making it even more popular. So I do think that those are the key things I took away from the book. I loved the book. I did. I think that it's incredible that she did it alongside her daughter. I think that must have been a journey, because writing anyway is tough, but when you're trying to co-write with somebody and co-write with someone in your family, that must have been an experience. But what a great experience to have together. And if you haven't read it yet, I strongly urge you to, because it's a great thing because it gives you something that's a really simple way of reminding yourself what matters and what doesn't. But also, and as she says in the book, this isn't new stuff. This goes back to Stoic philosophy. It goes, all sorts of people have talked about this theory in other ways. But I think what makes it work so beautifully is the simplicity of let them as a mantra. That's why I think it's worth reading, is because you can then remind yourself. And if you read it and it, you never have to use it, lucky you. But I think for most of us, at some point in our lives, we will need the let them theory to help us in a situation and to feel as though we're taking control of our own life and not living it for other people. I hope you enjoyed today's episode, which was the review of the let them theory. I always think we become better writers by reading as much as we can. Hopefully you'll feel inspired when I do these book review episodes to read the books that I recommend. And I will link, of course, to the Let Them Theory in the show notes if you have not read it yet. And if you have other ideas for books that you think would be great to review, then email me, steph@stephcaswell.com, particularly if they've done something for you that perhaps the Mel books have done for me. So do reach out, let me know things that you love. And if you haven't followed me yet on Instagram, I'm there, Steph Caswell Author, and I'm also on LinkedIn. But until next time, happy writing and happy reading.